Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is episode 13, lucky 13. It's November 20th, 2016, and we are streaming live from Keene, New Hampshire on YouTube right now. We stream live every Sunday night. We were streaming between 8 and 9 p.m., but some young lady here on the panel was getting too hyped. She was having a hard time getting to sleep because, you know, she's got to work the next morning. I had to work the next morning, but she just couldn't handle it. So we pushed it back to 7 to 8. So that's why we're on an hour early this evening. If you would like to call in during our live airing, Sunday 7 through 8, you can call us. 267-521-2771 is the number. Call us with your comments, your opinions. We talk about show topics we're going to discuss this evening or things we might have talked about in the past. Those previous videos can be found at citizenkane.org, as long as all the show notes and whatnot. And we've got a kitty that is just going to get kicked in
Animal
a second.
Control.
No, not kicked. Kitty's going to get swatted.
She's going to be convinced of the error of her ways.
Of course, you can also Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. Of course, another option is always to email me. That email address is show@citizenkane.org. Of course, you can also message me on the Facebook. So my name is Conan, and joining, there she is, getting rid of the kitty problem, is, of course, the lovely Shauna Nash.
With Shauna, animal control.
Thank you so much for taking care of that issue. We can't have these uppity kitties ruining our lives. You know what? So little kitty went to college last week.
Yeah, which is a euphemism for getting spayed.
She got spayed. I took her early in the morning to the Monadnock Humane Society. I think that's their title.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like the little basket she was in, and she was meowing at me, and I dropped her off, and we both went and picked her up later that afternoon, and she had tears in her eye. Her eyes were wet, and she was a very unhappy kitty. And she didn't like us for a couple of days. And funny enough, old kitty, big kitty.
The older one, yep.
Didn't like her either. And I suspect it probably had something to do with the smells. Maybe she had other cat smells on her.
Other cat smells, probably other hormones.
Or maybe it's just a lack of a certain hormone. She didn't recognize
that
little kitty for who she was.
Right.
So very, very curious. That's, but now she's, it's been a week and a half. She's, you know, she's graduated from college. And she seems pretty normal.
Paying off her student loans.
I'm always really concerned that when animals, any animal gets neutered or spayed, that they lose their energy, their energy drive.
Their personality.
They lose their drive to live. their drive to go out and explore and do things.
Well, I've always heard that about getting male pets neutered. There's always the gag of like, oh, the man's so afraid to get his pet neutered and be responsible because, you know, he just sees himself as a dog too. And I've never really, you know, grew up with kittens and cats and all that, and they just went and got spayed and came back, and I couldn't tell any difference. But with this one, it's, you know,
there was definitely
seem a difference in personality.
Of course, she did have a, you know, big incision on her belly.
Yeah, it
so
was.
She might have been in a little
surgery.
Bit of pain. But yeah, she's good to go, and now she's acting up, and we're gonna have to start locking these kitties up during the show. I thought it'd be cold enough down here that keep them away, but it doesn't bother them. It bothers you. Even though I've got the heater going.
It is cold. I don't know.
So anyways,
what has been happening?
Getting on with the show, what has been going on? If you live in Keene, if you live in New Hampshire, you probably got one of these bad boys in the mail this weekend.
A letter of how great it is?
This is what they tell. They tell me this is
Wait. This is to everybody who lives in New Hampshire. So it's like Dunkin' Donuts coupons mapped to Cumbies.
You know, I've never been to Dunkin' Donuts.
Hey,
Or Starbucks.
Yeah.
I never bought anything at Panera.
Eh.
Just not my thing.
Not
so they
really
tell
so
me
much.
That this is what I have to do, what we do to live in civilized society, and that is pay our taxes so that it all doesn't come crumbling down around us, the roads don't fall
stop
out beneath our
roads.
Feet, and the firemen stop doing what they do, and our houses burn down. You know, you name it, it's on there. Of course, if you live in Keene, you know that the tax rate did go up substantially. It went up from 34.43 to 36.63, I believe.
Well, that's just like $2.
That's so just $2, yeah.
What is it?
Per thousand. So this is based on the assessment value of your home. So in Keene, if you lived in a $200,000 home, your property tax this year would be $7,278. That's $7,278 you can't spend working, putting in your house, putting in your yard, putting it into your kids' education, putting into getting a new vehicle, investing in the bank,
mm-hmm.
or investing under your sofa, on your mattress, however you do that. This is money that is going to the city, and mostly about 52% of it, I believe, is going to teach children's, the youngs, to be better human beings. And of course, if you look at the
you mean it goes to the school district?
It goes to the school districts, and if you look at the test results coming out of New Hampshire and Keene, and you know all of the towns, they're not doing very good. They are not producing rocket scientists like you think would be coming from a tuition of almost $20,000 per student.
That sounds like a wow.
Just stop and think about that. We are spending almost $250,000 for primary and secondary education for our kids. And they're not even in college yet. And then, of course, they're going to college because everyone's saying they need to. You know, I'm actually hearing folks, even on the left, who are actually starting to agree that not everyone needs to go to college. Some people just need to go straight into the workplace and work up the ladder. Some people need to go find apprenticeships and work through the system, and that's the best rate.
See, what I've always heard has been everyone needs to go to college, and I graduated finally from college in 2008, and even since 2006, when I kind of dropped out for a year, was subject to dismissal from the next year of college. And I started pushing back of like, no, people don't need to go to college. Everybody's always been, when I push back on people and everyone says, oh, everyone needs to go to college. No, it's not good for everybody. Some people don't belong in college. Oh, yeah, I mean apprenticeships.
Vocational schools.
Job training, vocational schools. Like the equation is vocational school, job training equals college.
Mm-hmm.
And that I agree with the concept in a vacuum that, okay, if you're not ready for college, then maybe learn to be a plumber. I wanted to be a plumber when I was in high school. I'm like, dude, there's toilets everywhere. And I kind of like the way that I can fix them.
Yeah, plumbing will never go away. That's one of those all-time jobs. You just got to work on your butt crack exposure.
Well, I try. But yeah, I've always been in agreement with that. But I think when people are saying everybody needs to go to college and now they're finally giving in to or job training like they do in the, you know, in Europe or somewhere, that, you know, plumber school, to take that example, mm-hmm. is going to be just as overwhelmed with applicants and oversubsidized by the government in the same way that colleges are oversubsidized by the government, to where people, there's going to be a bunch of people in plumber school who don't belong there.
Yeah. The problem
is, and you're going to be super certified. You're going to have a master's in plumbing.
Right. The problem is that when any leaders who be, masters that be, try to centrally plan what is best for us, this is when the free market, this is when individuals with, you know, free individuals make the best decisions based on, mm-hmm. you know, what they see in front of them. when you start trying to centrally plan and pick your favorites amongst the myriad of positions that are available, that's when the bubbles start to get create, and then they eventually pop. And right now, higher education, big old bubble. Everyone's feeling it.
Yeah.
College debt exceeds credit card debt in this country.
Neither of which
are
good.
The next bubble is primary and secondary education. It is killing us. It is this that is that we are spending more. Our property tax is going to fund educating kids, supposedly, and all it really is glorified daycare. And as soon as they're getting out, they don't know anything. They go into college and they're immediately taking remedial college classes because they don't know their math and they don't know their English.
Well, it sounds. I mean, yeah, and that's not really the fault of the kids.
Or they're going to out into the real world getting jobs, and they can't.
They're not getting the jobs. They're unemployable. When they're from about 16, when they're old. Well, I think that's a little late, but they're old enough to be working on their own, making their own money. Mm-hmm. They're not allowed to work for the most part. To looking at from an employer standpoint, from what I've seen in my experience working in Keene, you can't really hire a kid in high school to do much of anything because they're not available. And, you know, I understand, like, yeah, you don't want to work a kid's life force out of him.
Well, I think that
wait till they're in debt at 25, but
the two biggest problems with hiring kids, and by the way, I started working very young. I was, I had all kinds of little side jobs, mowing lawns, selling trinkets, working. And of course, the big one, of course, was working on the farm. I was, you know, if some of the diehard.
The farm, like a tobacco plantation?
Like a dairy farm, cows, goats.
Like.
If the diehard liberals found out how young I was working, might they throw my dad in jail right now? But you know what? I think I did all right. I think it was good for me.
Yeah.
And it really set me up for the future. I'm very confident in any position that I go into these days. I do change it up every couple of years.
What?
I like to change. I change jobs.
Oh, jobs.
I get tired.
Okay.
You know, after 4 or 5 years, I get tired. But you know,
invested in this eyebrow makeup for nothing.
Every
okay.
job I've ever worked at, there has always been some program within the company for better self-improvement. Hey, you want to work up through the ranks?
Yeah.
There's a class for you. Whether they mail you the brochure, the workbooks, or you're taking it online, you know, all the way back from the military to working for a cable company to working for the post office, even Walmart, there has always been a way out for self-improvement, or a way in for self-improvement. It's always been there available because these companies want to hire from within. It's cheaper. They've already done all the work. They've already got you.
Well,
and it's cheaper to hire people who already know the system than it is to bring some outsider in who's never done the work before and have to roll the die and, you know.
Yeah. I understand that doesn't really work for a lot of companies. I mean, for some, it makes more sense to hire from without, because if the industry is exactly the same, like it's a heavily regulated industry, like, I don't know, insurance, then, you know, the licenses work all the way across the state to do the same stuff, basically. And it's just a matter of, you know, their corporate mission or attitude or whatever. And, you know, so it would make sense for them to hire somebody who has this license to do whatever they're hiring for from this company out here, instead of somebody who's just been, you know, tossing the mail around all day and they don't actually know.
One of the reasons they don't hire from within, like I think you're referring to, is because they don't want to choose favorites. They don't want someone
there could be
they
that too.
Coming from the ranks. And all of a sudden, now this guy is the guy you've been working with for the last 5 years. All of a sudden, he's your boss, boss.
It's a lot easier to
pick from another location. And that guy, your buddy, who wants to be a boss one day, he'll get picked up from another wing somewhere else in the region.
Right.
And
at the same time, I've also seen when I worked at McDonald's years and years ago, they hired on an assistant manager who worked up up to through the ranks to assistant manager at Burger King. And he was suddenly now assistant manager at McDonald's, and he didn't know any, you know, McDonald's stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was really baffling to me as a 18-year-old, didn't understand, like, why would they do that? He doesn't know this place, man. They're not hiring from
within.
How
long did it take him to figure it out?
I quit because of teenager drama reasons.
Never found out.
But I don't know about the bubble being primary and secondary school. I think the bubble, the next bubble, like you say, is going to be in kindergarten and pre-kindergarten.
Well, they're adding
preschool,
they're adding
because that's where people are suddenly investing in. That's where people are going to the state and complaining that we need money for this. This is the way to, this is the Monadnock way to, you know, there's a radio commercial that I just heard a couple weeks ago where they're, you know, going on and on about, oh, this, the people of today are in such dire straits. The young people today, they don't have jobs. They, you know, health is so terrible and all that.
They're graduating from high school and they're still
High school. They have no jobs. They have no money, all that stuff. So the solution was to invest in pre-kindergarten. And
yeah, you know what that is? That's making it easier on the tax slaves, your parents. Because
no, these children who are like in their 20s who have kids and they are unemployable. They are uncivilizable. They don't have any civic understanding. They don't have a chance. And the money right now that everybody is trying to get from the state government, from the federal government, from counties, from, you know, big time charities that are big names all across Keene, they want all the money to go to pre-kindergarten. Pre-kindergarten is going to help these stupid 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds. You know, it's just, that to me seems more like an investment scheme. Elementary school, high school, that's been there for, you know, like 150 years, maybe 200 years in Yankee land up here. But I think the new the next bubble, and, you know, bubbles aren't mutually exclusive. I think the next one is going to be in pre-kindergarten and kindergarten.
Well, I think that is just adding to the fire of the of lower education.
Okay, that makes sense.
I was saying about why the kids have such a hard time getting jobs. Number one, the liability.
If you don't have experience, you got to invest a lot into somebody.
Correct. And if you have to pay the minimum wage, which is the second reason, now it's like, yeah, you know what? It doesn't make sense. You know, I'm just going to hire this 30-year-old. Who maybe has a criminal record or a bad work history over this, you know, 15-year-old who doesn't have any work history, and I just can't take a chance.
Well, you would be taking a chance with the older person with a criminal record.
Yeah, I'm going to pay them the same amount, this 30-year-old versus a 15-year-old. I mean, it only makes sense to go with the 30-year-old. Thank you, minimum wage. Whereas I could be paying the kid $4 an hour, which is probably what he's worth. At first, until he proves himself, because I'm having to train him.
Well, for you, that could be...
And he doesn't know the system. He probably doesn't even know how to work. So I'm having to actually train this individual to get to where he needs to be to make $10 an hour.
And believe it or not, there's some 30, 40-year-olds who
don't know it either.
Need to be trained as well.
And they expect it to at least be making a certain amount, and I think that's wrong. I think people should be paid according to their productivity.
Well, I think if you got rid of minimum wage laws, you know, it's Sunday, we're filming this, and you got rid of minimum wage laws on Monday, on Tuesday, there's still going to be the same probably minimum wages everywhere. There's going to still be prevailing wages by industry. Because if I start up my new company in, you know, burger flipping, I don't know what to pay anybody. Yeah, so I'm going to ask around, like, okay, well, what do you pay your people? What do you get paid? You flip burgers. What did you start out with? Oh, okay, I'll go somewhere around there. Like, I'm not going to start offering people $4 an hour. Well, I mean, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't know, you know, and there'd be prevailing standards.
And by the way, I have only made minimum wage one time in my life. It's when I was 15, working on construction.
I don't even want to tell you how many times.
That is the only time I've ever made minimum wage. Every job since then, it has been based on my experience and my performance during the interview. And I've been rated accordingly.
I've worked at places long enough to be there for the minimum wage to go up. So all my coworkers were, yay, we get a raise. And I'm like, no, we don't. I started a job at 10 cents above the minimum wage, and I got this huge lecture about how I better not let him down.
Uncle Sam?
No, it was McDonald's. I was watching him fill in my stuff. He knew that I, you know, was literally worked with the other manager, like, three stores behind. And he, like, put it at 7:10 and was like, I'm really taking a chance on this. I'm like, oh my God.
So back to tax rate. If you live in Keene, you're feeling it. All right. So the reason, and by the way, Keene Sentinel, our newspaper here in the area.
Yep.
The article you wrote on this last week pissed me off. Here's what it's entitled. Despite higher tax rate, Keene homeowners to see some relief.
So yeah, this was the one that came
very
in
misleading.
This came out Wednesday, and it was the story. If you read between the lines, and it's not that hard. You can, whenever you read this and you feel like your eyes are glazing back, just glaze on through. It's just numbers. It's just cut and paste. And between the lines, they're saying, well, the tax rate went up, but because everybody's home is assessed lower, you're saving money. So everybody should be happy about the higher tax rate. We should be happy about the situation.
Okay, yeah,
we should be grateful for the situation.
We should be grateful slaves. Get over it. You know, it's the price you pay to live in civilized society. But you know what? They didn't. They left out. So I called assessors and, you know, I wanted to find out what the whole value of Keene.
The assessor for
the city assessment.
The people say this house is worth this much.
Correct.
Okay.
So they did they reevaluated the entire city of Keene. They do it every 5 years or so. And 74% of the properties in Keene went down. 74%. So the total value of Keene went from $1,843,000,000 down to $1,788,000,000. It went down $55 million. The value.
Yowza.
So now, but the city, the department of this, the city of Keene did not shrink. The city of Keene went up.
The value of the properties.
Of properties went down.
No, but the value of the city hall, like the city hall property?
Actually, some city buildings probably went up. Like the library, the courthouse, they might have gone up. I don't know. I didn't look into, you know, specifics.
Mm-hmm.
So now the city spending did not go down.
Why
city
would
assessment
it?
Did go down, so that means the tax rate has got to go up in order to pay for the same size city spending that we were experiencing last year and that we're going to experience this year. But why this thing is so misleading is because it sounds like everybody went down and no one is really going to be affected by this new tax rate. And yes, if your property went down like, you know, 7%. Then yeah, the increased tax rate, your taxes are probably going to stay about the same, unless you're me and the damn property. My property went up 16%.
Right.
So I'm going to be paying an extra $877 this year. $877. Let that sink in, and ask me why I'm not punching kitties right now. I'm upset. That is a lot of money.
Well, and also if your home value had gone down, if your home became less than, if you hadn't been a steward enough of your home, of your land, of your property, mm-hmm. so that it goes up in value, if you didn't improve it and they assess down, with this higher tax rate, you're not really getting ahead. If they had left the tax rate the way it was,
But they can't. They can't do that. They have to pay for the city.
They can kind of do whatever they want.
They have to pay for the city.
Right. They can make adjustments to what they're paying, though. They can tighten their belts.
Okay. If you're talking about the city increasing or decreasing the budget and the schools decreasing the budget, then yes, I agree. That's what they could do.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I think a lot of people are talking about. They see a higher tax rate. I see higher tax rate. I think the city's going to spend more money. I'm not even getting into what it's going towards. I'm not even getting into, you know, what is it like liabilities that they're held to that they can't get out of mm-hmm. or things that they, you know, have discretion on. I'm just thinking the city is paying is spending more of my money.
And all you have to do is go through their silly budget.
Yeah. And that is so impossible.
No, it's just go through the index.
Okay.
Just go through all the departments and think about things that you don't ever use.
Mm-hmm.
Think about and they also go through the bond list.
Oh God.
I think Keene is like I'm just throwing a number out there. I think it's 30 million. They owe 30 million in principal.
Right.
It might be something like 20. It's between 20 and 30. They owe a lot of money. So just go through the bond list and see all the things that we owe money on. Projects that you never, ever use. Like the ice rink. $1.3 million.
I have a job
like
all
the bridges.
Day. I can't ever use the ice rink.
I don't think the bridges are on there. But some of the projects that you just never use. But they say that we need to build infrastructure at Blackbrook over here, our downtown. We need to build another parking facility so that the new Washington Manor... The Washington Park can the clientele can actually have a place to park. Even though we'll never be over there. We'll never use that parking facility. We might not ever shop at Washington Park or ever live there.
Wanna bet.
And yet we're going to be paying between five and ten million on a parking garage that we'll never use.
Right. So that's what I mean when I'm pointing out that the tax rate goes up, and when I hear that the tax rate goes up, I think of it as they're doing something bad. They're doing something they shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be saying, I'm going to take more money from you.
Because if it was our personal budget.
If it was our personal budget, on and on. But what I'm saying is, you know, even for people whose home went down in value, they're not getting ahead with this higher tax rate. They should be actually benefiting, like, in the spirit of what this Wednesday article has. Mm-hmm. The Wednesday article has, you did great, you did good job, you won, when really you didn't win. You would have won if your home had been valued down, but also the city's tax rate had stayed the same or gone down. Because then you would actually feel a real ease. Because what if people's home had gone up? What if people had invested in their home and made it better and, you know, cleaner or just, you know, better looking, whatever goes into assessment that makes it go up, higher tax rate, then
it's
you are...
market. What makes it go up or down?
Okay, then the market went better.
Market sales.
Okay, then the market went better, and then this tax rate is screwing you over.
Okay, here's what the City of Keene should be looking at. They should be looking at the citywide assessment, and that is the condition of the people. That is a direct representation of the people. Now, during the housing boom, it looked like everyone was doing really, really, really well because the market value was shooting through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is that bubble burst, and now reality is setting in. And hey, look at this. We're not as rich as we thought that we were. There are some richers here in Keene, but some of us are just, you know, we're just making it. We're middle class. We're just making it. And we don't need all these projects. They don't represent who we are. We can't afford them. We can't pay for them. I look at my yearly budget here at the house, and there are things that I can't afford. I can't afford a boat. I can't afford to build a brand new garage this year. I can't afford another vehicle. There are some things that I just cannot afford. I live within my means. I'm a pretty frugal guy.
Yeah.
Shop. I look for sales. I shop with coupons. You know,
that's
I live within
true.
My means. And then I look at the city, which represents me, and they do not shop with coupons. They're like, we need another bridge. We will pay anything to get another bridge. We'll try to find a grant. We're going to be looking for grants all day long for things that we don't really need.
Well, the problem with the grants, I mean, you could say, oh, the grants are like coupons, but the grants don't pay completely.
But those grants
come with attachments. They come with strings.
Think about it. Yeah, exactly. And think about all the coupons that you get for things that you would have never bought for the name brand cereal. And it's like, it's still more expensive with the coupon than the off brand cereal. We don't eat cereal, by the way, guys. I'm just using this example.
Those shower curtains were on clearance. And I'm a winner for today for getting those.
So if you live in Keene, man, you're feeling it.
Get off my back.
I did like that the Sentinel. I know I was just bashing on you a second ago, but they did pretty much list every city, town in Cheshire County and gave us a pretty good idea where they are not being beat over the head violently with bricks. I've got my eye on some of these towns. One of them I'm not saying if you want to, you look at the show notes and look at this article, because I'm not telling you which town. There's one I've had my eye on.
Yeah.
and it's doing very well this year. I don't know what they're doing. I need to find out. I think it has something to do with possibly their charter school.
Don't give it away. He means Manchester.
That's all I don't want
to be driving out of.
That's
you
all
know,
I'm saying.
I don't want to be driving through Cheshire County and suddenly there's a big sign on the "Welcome to the City" and there's no Conan's Club.
One of the worst things that I here's one
no
of the worst
Conan's
things,
allowed. I don't want any of
if
that.
If you do look at this list and it's like, oh wow, they're only paying $14.99. Great, and you bring up Zillow real quick and you look at the properties and everything's like $300,000 and up. It's these rich people, they know their stuff. They're rich for a reason.
For a reason.
They know their stuff. It's like, I'm not living in Keene and paying that stupid tax. I'll go live out in the woods.
Paging Bernie bots.
I'll go live out in the woods.
Paging Bernie bots to the basement.
It's a better investment. I'll buy a home for twice the cost that I could get it in Keene, and I'll pay taxes half the price. And when you think of after a 30-year investment, it'll have all paid for itself. It just makes sense. And I'll live in a better home. Of course, you're not close to everything. You got to drive everywhere. But, you know, some people don't
You
got to
drive
stuff.
Everywhere where we are right now.
Yeah, no, it's not far. And I do have a bike. If my truck ever broke, I'd be able to.
All right. What else do we have? Our idea of 10 minutes per topic right out the window.
So a couple years ago.
We have ambitions, at least.
A couple years ago, caught the local school board. Keene School Board electioneering. They spent $23,000, taxpayers' dollars, campaigning for one of their warrants. They wanted to close Jonathan Daniels and do a bunch of renovations.
SAU 29?
Is that this? They represent Keene High School, but it was Keene's budget. Okay. It wasn't SAU 29's budget.
I've just always noticed when you say one and they really are talking about the other, there is a huge mountain of indignation heaped upon somebody who says Keene School District when the real referent is SAU 29, or you mix them up. And it's always been from school board members or, you know, school officials. That's SAU 29 that's doing that, not Keene School District. Well, what are you even talking about?
SAU 29 is a small department that represents us and other schools.
Okay, so they were electioneering?
And we don't need them. We could get rid of them very easily.
What were they electioneering for?
They were campaigning one of their warrants. They were putting signs up. They were doing radio announcements. They had ads in the paper, the Sentinel, the Monadnock Shopper.
I remember those.
You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to spend... It doesn't say taxpayer money, but you can't use
school resources.
You can't use school resources to do all that stuff, and you can't do it on the school dime. So some way now they actually hired out another company that specializes in this type of advertising, but they know they did it over the phone. So they, you know,
yeah,
and they used our money doing it. And I actually tried to. We were actually working on some fixing that law. Through Concord last year, and it failed. But that'll definitely be something I'll be working on again because this is bad. Because look, hey!
Because it's not right.
UNH doing the exact same thing. They were last week criticized for some of their Facebook postings on some of their departments where they were showing favoritism to Clinton. I gotcha. Clinton, they wouldn't vote for Clinton, right? Students, they don't vote Democratic.
What?
And actually bashing Trump. They were also using school resources and school hours, school time, to write anti-Trump campaign signs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest one.
What is the biggest one?
Well, of course, if any of you, unless you've been living under a rock, familiar with the Podesta WikiLeaks, turns out that one of the directors over there at UNH... Michael Ettlinger.
Mm-hmm.
What department is he? The Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire. Public School of Policy. Public Policy in New Hampshire. I don't know what that is.
It's a college within the college. There's a lot of, you know, I went to a college that had the Anderson School of Business within the campus. So I think it's just... My understanding as a college graduate is that it's just branding.
You don't think it's like it's not a department at all? It's like a...
I think it's a college within the college.
School of Public Policy. Anyways, An email leaked by WikiLeaks from Carson School Director Michael Ettinger from March 2015 shows him asking John Podesta, Clinton's campaign chairman, how can I be helpful from my perch in New Hampshire? I'm open-minded on that, and I've helped out on some small matters in the private capacity, but the best place to start is with what I can do formally from the heading, the Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire. He goes on to say, we couldn't formally sponsor an event that was explicitly a fundraiser, but other than that, a straight speech, interview style, or town hall, any format is fine, Ettinger wrote. Second, we could convene conversations with people in New Hampshire. We would do this through the Carsey School Project, New Hampshire Listens. So he was trying to make every possible, he was trying to make available the options that Clinton or Bernie or whoever her
no, who, not, not to Ber- Clinton.
Bernie after the fact, after he gave up. And he was campaigning for it at UNH, I believe.
Well,
but he was making it very, he was making it clear very early on that, hey, our campus is available to you, and we'll try to make it as easy as possible.
Well, I don't actually know, because, and this article is diversional, because it does have, oh, the Facebook postings, people are criticizing them on Facebook, when that really is trash news. It's trash controversy. It's a waste of time. It's, you know, somebody posted on the account saying, oh yeah, stop by and do this. They do that all the time. Is stop by and do this. Yeah, tons of stuff that's objectionable.
They do that, and they think that it's all right.
Yeah, hey, they do.
Go ahead and use our taxpayer-funded materials and our building and I'm still on the clock right now, and I'll sit here and supervise you.
I can tell you right now that they do that for everything all the time. They sponsor a lot of they sponsor a lot of groups. A lot of, you know, you if you have a group, have a club at a campus, they are sponsored by the campus. I'm not saying that they pay for stuff, but the material, the space is there. So there's a connection no matter what. Facebook is free.
All right, yeah, but it represents their department, and
it does.
And they didn't.
It's a women's studies program. That's not horrible enough for society.
This article did not mention the fake poll that they took down real quick.
Get to that, I just want to make my point that this actually doesn't seem that bad. And for me to say that something connected to the Clinton campaign isn't that bad is kind of like, wow, it actually isn't that bad.
Tell me what's bad then. They didn't mention the poll. They had a fake poll up. Had Clinton ahead by 11
points. Right, well, let's
11,
talk 11, about the fake poll.
11 then. Points. Well, I never got to see it because they took it down so quick. I've only heard people who saw it there. And I think that's why they got ousted. I don't think it was even because of the Podesta WikiLeak. I think it was because of that poll they had up.
Well, I read about the Podesta email before I heard about this, before I heard about the stupid Facebook postings. And the email that you were just reading is from March of 2015.
Yeah, but these things just came out.
The email was sent in March of 2015.
Right.
To Clinton's campaign chairman. So the Podesta emails is emails from the head of the Clinton campaign. And in March of 2015, Bernie was kind of blowing everything up with his existence.
In March?
Of last year, yes.
I thought he was early this year.
No.
I don't know. I never followed him.
I think he was, and even within that, this UNH guy is asking, you know, how can I be helpful to the Clinton campaign? And some of it doesn't really sound that bad. I mean, he's saying, you know, I've helped out in some small matters privately, which, you know, yeah, you do that privately. And, you know, he mentioned that somebody else who works with him is supportive. And he's saying, you know, we couldn't formally sponsor a fundraiser. Okay, that makes sense. He's right on that. Mm-hmm. But what he says also, other than that, a straight speech, interview style, town hall, any format is fine. That's you know, I mean, when they had the debates at colleges, how different is that from this?
Yeah, but was he reaching out to the other campaigners?
Those other campaigners' emails weren't leaked.
Correct.
So we don't know. So,
but should he have been spending any time doing any of this?
He could have been emailing from home. He could have been emailing from home to, I mean, it's emails that Podesta had, not emails that this guy had. So we don't, I mean, we could read it and find out the email address that it came from. But, I mean, this is always what happens. Convene conversations with the people of New Hampshire. We would do this through the Carsey School Project, NA Listens. So if those things, if the Carsey School Project, NH Listens, if the Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire are supposed to exist, then this is, I think, the kind of stuff that they're going to do. They're either going to email the Clinton campaign because she's the establishment.
This is true.
And, you know, maybe they, you know, worship the devil together. I don't know. But it seems like they have the Facebook posting so everybody can, you know, go after them for Facebook and, you know, hate on them for that. And it's interesting how this article ties in, you know, the Facebook, which everybody understands. Everybody understands and can wrap their heads around. People posted bad things on the internet. Let's go get them. But then this article also ties in the Podesta emails, which are, we're told, at least by CNN, a couple weeks before the election, that it's illegal to see them. It's, they're in a dump, so you have to search through them. It's, you know, like finding something in your basement in the dark while you're dizzy or something. So it takes work to actually find them. And, you know, I've heard that they're arranged easier to find, but it's interesting that this place, this article, I mean, was able to tie them together. The dumb thing, the Facebook, the unhealthy thing with the leaked emails.
The bottom line, and this is where I stand, anybody funded through taxpayer means should remain unbiased and not show partisan favorites. They should just keep quiet and just wait till they're on their own time to do any of this. And the simplest solution, because I want people to be able to voice their opinion and do and say whatever they want, say how mm-hmm. they feel, the obvious solution to this is to stop funding these people. These are the same people who are claiming that they're not getting enough money. I think they want like an 18% increase this year. And this and Hassan probably do it, and probably this new Sununu would probably do it as well. Because everyone's saying all our universities aren't getting enough money. We have the highest debt in the land, and we spend the less. We spend we're either number one or number two in the land as far as spending on universities.
Well, maybe it's per capita.
And as far as I can tell, with stories like this, this is a prime example of they don't need to be funded through taxpayer means if they're going to show favorites like this, because they don't represent everybody. They need to represent everyone, and the only way to do that is to remain quiet.
Well, the Post does say the Post that says, you know, come here, we're making posters. It's for a walkout. It's for, you know, protesting the election after the fact. And I think that's evidence of the, you know, these college students are, everybody says they're adults. Everybody also says that they're all children, and they're treated like children mentally, definitely, intellectually, and in terms of what they can do with their lives. And it's evidence of the child abuse that has been going on against children through this election, where people are told, you know, I had to tell my children that the bad man is president. I was told that when Clinton was first elected. I was told that if Bush won, we'd be out in the streets or something. And it's all horrible stuff.
And the only one out in the streets, by the way, are the guys breaking windows and flipping cars. Coming from NHPR.org, this article, Governor-elect Republican, speaking of the man, Chris Sununu, says he wants to repeal same-day voter registration in New Hampshire. Quote, most states don't have it. There's a reason. Could cause problems, Sununu said, speaking to NHPR's Morning Edition. And this it's definitely something the libertarians like to gnaw at. It seems to be one of those things. It's one of those rules that's like, yeah, you can't tell me what to do. You can't. That's voter suppression. And especially, so I mean,
wait, are libertarians in favor of same day registration, or they're not in? They're against same day registration being ended.
No, it's one of those big. It's one of those big battles amongst the troops. Now, if you look,
the libertarian troops,
conservatives versus Democrats. You're always going to have Democrats. Same day is the way to go, because anything other is voter suppression. And Republicans are like, well, if you're responsible enough, you could register 30 days in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there is the fear that the system that we have here in New Hampshire, which is same day registration, you could walk into the polling place.
Yep.
Here in New Hampshire and go to a special line without ID, without proof of residency, and you can sign an affidavit saying that I am who I am, this is my name, and sign another affidavit saying this is where I live here in Keene, and you don't even have a picture ID. They'll take a picture of you.
Yep.
And then you can go vote. That is the system currently. Now, everyone else has to go provide proof of residency,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a light bill, or you can actually send a letter to yourself to an address, and as long as it's been stamped by the UPS, you can use a letter to yourself. You have to prove driver's license, when you consider how much harder it is to get a vehicle registered or a driver's license versus registering to vote, it's a little silly. And yes, it can be taken advantage of. Whether it's being taken advantage, I can't say.
I think that's a matter of people finding it. I same day registered to vote here in Keene, I think 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already lived here, so I had a New Hampshire ID.
Did you show it when you were there?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay, well,
the address wasn't the same as the address I'd moved since then.
Right.
So I think that's why, you know, it was a lot easier than I thought it'd be. I knew going in that I could same day register. I didn't know what to bring. I brought my ID. I think I brought my social security card because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bill with me. I don't remember if they looked at it or not. I don't think they did because it was crumbled up.
Well, the way it works currently is you wouldn't need any of that stuff. You just sign affidavits. Now, there are penalties if you were to falsify information.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, how many of the 2,722 same-day registers here in Keene are they going to call up later this month when they find out that they don't actually live here? Or they're students who are actually claiming residency in Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts.
Oh, claiming in both.
Because actually, the thing that bothers me more about the same-day registering is not the people who haven't voted in 40 years and they didn't know it was vote day until, you know, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The people who really scare me are the students. The people who don't really have a stake in the game, who don't live here,
right,
and don't ever plan on living here, who get the vote, and we all know how they vote. So 2,722 same day registers. I'm going to say. I'm just going to take a stab in the dark. Overwhelmingly, those kids,
mm-hmm.
and you know, probably some adults too, voted one way.
I would not be so sure that with this election.
There were a lot of hillmen.
No.
Rednecks who came out of the woods who never.
That's what you mean by hillmen. I thought you meant like men.
I heard plenty of stories of people who haven't voted in the past 40 years who.
Coming out for Trump.
Who decided, yes, I did. Those people exist.
Right. Or people who just finally came out as if it is something to be shameful as a Trump supporter. I took my crap for it myself, so I know what that's like. Yeah, I can't. You can't really say about this last election of how many were same day registrants who all showed up to vote. You know, to say it, showed up to vote Democrat because Trump was also bringing out a lot of people to the polls,
mm-hmm.
and people against him as well. I'm sure.
Well, if Keene, a college town, is anything like Durham, which is the host of UNH, which we were just talking about, which overwhelmingly was college votes.
Yep.
They were two-thirds of Durham is 20 to 24-year-olds. If we're anything like Durham, then a lot of our votes are coming from dumb kids who don't know better, and they're getting their news from – they're getting fake site news, just like the supposedly Facebook is saying that the righties get their news from, and they need to all be taken down. They get their news from The Onion. They get their news from The Daily Show and what's this John Oliver craphead? What a craphead, man. He is misinformation all over. And by the way, total votes in Keene, 12,887 total ballots, and that includes absentee ballots. Of course, almost 3,000 of those were same day. I am in agreement with the
Republican governor. You're lockstep with him. Is that it?
They've tried for a 30-day. I think that might be a little long. I think that 10 work days is sufficient. I would be happy with 5 work days a week. But the same day crap, no. It's too easily taken advantage of.
It's too obviously taken advantage of.
And I don't care.
And
much
if
for
it upsets libertarians, then I'm kind of inclined to be in favor of it. But it makes sense. I mean, if I hadn't known that there was same-day registration, I would have registered beforehand. Mm-hmm. So, some of those same-day registrants, the 2,722, a lot of them probably were also from that. They're like, oh, well, I don't have to register until I get to the poll, so I'll just do it when I get
there.
They're
irresponsible and procrastinators.
No, it's not procrastination. You know you can do it this day, so you will do it this day. So it's, you really can't say anything about who, I mean, well, as you said, it's a stab in the dark. But yeah, I really would be in favor of them changing the same day registration. It sounds like it would make easy a lot of what it looks like it would make easy. Although you go further down in the article of what the governor said. Stop.
He said
he doesn't believe there's voter fraud going on.
But he has to say that.
He actually does not have to say that.
He's saying it for both sides
because
of the aisle.
Because the narrative is, if you're a Republican and you accuse people of voter fraud, you want to suppress their votes, and he's giving in. I don't really care so much. I mean, that's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do. But what I think would be even more effective is further down. I mean, get rid of same day registration and there'll be a lot of people pissed off because they missed a deadline and otherwise they would have done it. It was well intentioned, but they missed it. There also in the same article, it points out there is no minimum period of time someone must live in the state before being allowed to register. Mm-hmm. That seems kind of even more worse because you could just stay here a weekend the equivalent of what you stay here a couple days, show up on Monday to somewhere to register to vote. And, you go through all the hoops, you sign all the affidavits and everything, and then you mail absentee from wherever you are in, Connecticut.
If you're doing it the regular way, going to City Hall and you taking all the information with you, you've got to take a.
You would have to have the real proof.
You have to take proof of residence.
Well, then you do it in.
And the same thing.
Then you do it the weekend in November. Why would you want? The weekend in November before you vote.
But if you're just staying at someone's house, how many of those people are going to have this? We're talking about work now.
Well.
Which I'm all right with. If you've got to prove.
What about?
If you've got to send a letter to yourself to your buddy's house, who you're going to claim.
Mm-hmm.
That's work, and a lot of these people, if they're. They're probably doing it on a spur of the moment. The fraudulence I'm talking about.
If you're organized, you're not doing it to spur of the moment.
Yes.
You have a lot of addresses that can house somebody for a couple days. In March, right before, the Keene School District article.
Yeah, but no one's voting for that stuff.
Not yet.
Everyone's
voting. Well, I'm giving an example of not simply in November, but say in a special session where you go to vote at the polls in March because of a special election, mm-hmm. or in September because of the primary for, Keene City Council or something. You could have people show up the day of to register and they aren't from here.
You know,
so
you know what's funny too?
It's irresponsible to allow this to go on.
As far as far as voting at the deliberative sessions that we've gone to for the past 4 years.
Well, those are a joke anyways, because people make that into a joke.
Yeah, but that is community. And and I don't know what ordinance or law they're following, but you have to pre-register within 10 days. You cannot same day register at the deliberative session, which is a small little community thing.
Yeah.
But in the general, the big election, you could
ratify the budget, the school budget up or down.
Yeah. I would be happy with that 10 days for the big campaigns, the big election.
What do they have to hide?
I don't know. So I actually was, hold on. Yeah, we ran out of time, of course.
So you're in favor of the Republican. Don is not even in office, and he wants to stamp out the rights of the libertarians. This is why the libertarians are winning, because, I don't know, I said it over and over again, I guess.
Real quick, 30 seconds. There was a interesting solar advocacy letter that was sent, went through city council, and they're sending it off to all the legislators in New Hampshire, I believe. And it's not going to be an email. It's probably going to be a letter, a physical letter. There's no telling how much there's no problem telling how much that's going to cost. I did want to talk about that because, you know, City of Keene sends a lot of letters out of things they can't do. They come up with all these great ideas. And they can't do anything because there's state law that prevents them. So they could write a letter, plastic bag ban, write a letter with the synthetic marijuana, write a letter to the legislators and try to get them to pass this. And so they're writing a letter to try to get...
They do a lot of foot stamping.
Trying to get the solar panel. According to what I watched, it's really hard for small-time investors to actually invest in solar projects. You have to be an accredited investor, and it can't surpass 25 investors in those projects. I think what the whole thing boils down to is they want to take advantage of tax credits and grants and bonds.
Well,
that they could not get unless they were an LLC, renewable energy resource group. Maybe I'll have time to talk about this next week.
Well, it sounds like from what you were saying, Keene City Council has buddies who can't get in on the gig. So,
color me
shocked.
Well, I don't think that you have.
Is there more? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, so next week.
Wait, keep talking.
I got nothing to keep talking about. Nobody wants to hear what I got
to
say.
I forgot to bring up my thing.
What is? Do you have a video?
Oh, my closing.
What's your closing?
My closing list. I don't stumble whenever I'm
talking
about.
Oh, because of the end of the show.
It is the end of the show.
It is the end of the show.
So you have been watching Citizen Kane. Please go visit our website, citizenkane.org. All the previous episodes are there, as well as the show notes, the links to the articles that we just discussed. I'll go ahead and link those in the video information. Of course, like and subscribe to our Facebook page. Citizenkane.org is the Facebook handle. And I put a lot of good information on there as well. Call that number anytime during the week and leave a message if you like. Or, of course, you can also email me, show@citizenkane.org is my email address. And with that, we're going to leave you till next week. Next week at 7, not 8, like all the other episodes. 7 to 8 p.m. is the new time, because got to get this young lady to sleep because she's got to work tomorrow. She's got a job.
I can't go to the Keene ice rink all day and enjoy city services.
We've got a lot of money we gotta scrounge up this year in order to make ends meet.
Them taxes.
Them damn taxes. Oh God. Guys, thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week at the same time. Good night.
Paying for all this equipment. taxpayers?
Here I'm talking about things that I'll never talk about on any other show that I've already prepared for us. But I'll just play them. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about them right now.
Okay.
So, anyways.
We can make a filler episode so I can go to sleep early one day.
Solar advocacy letter. They want to make some changes to New Hampshire law that prevents investors, small-time investors, from going in, from getting a handle on these big projects. And like I said, I'm pretty sure you could go buy a $200 panel at your Home Depot.
Yeah.
You could deck your house out. What this really boils down to, these greenies, the greenies over at Monadnock Sustainability Network.
The investors?
A 501c3. They want to take advantage of available grants, available bonds, and they want to be able to create an LLC that if someone makes a bad investment, the individual investors won't be held accountable.
This is a corporation, yeah.
Yes. So that's what it really boils down to. Right now, legislation says that you cannot have more than 25 accredited investors. Now, I looked up because I wasn't real sure.
Yeah.
These are what an accredited investor is. And a lot of corporations that make over, like say, a lot of them are over 5 million corporations. Or
you could be a millionaire.
Or you're a natural person with income exceeding $200,000 in each of two most recent years, or joint income with a spouse exceeding $300,000. So a lot of you can't be an accredited investor unless you're rich. So if you're only making $60,000 a year, no way, Jose.
Well, that would sound kind of like it's protecting dumb poor people from getting scammed out of their last dime.
That's what they say that this law is for.
Well, that's what I first thought of. I'm like, wait, I know some really dumb people be like, I want to make money in solar panels. What can I give and write my check
to? It's to protect people from Ponzi schemes and other schemes, they say. Now, that might actually happen and they might actually be protected. But in reality, the way that I see this, it's to protect the bigwigs. It's to protect the bigwigs, the corporates who are already producing big energy, from little guys putting solar panels on their house. And that is why there's the energy cap, the net metering cap. I think that is a way of preventing people from investing in getting off the grid.
Well, what do you mean by investing in solar energy? I mean, do you mean putting solar panels on the roof of your own house? Or
yes.
Do you mean putting money into a solar company or something?
Both. So that's
okay, one or the other.
Because this guy is talking about actually putting solar panels on, like, they've already done the co-op.
Okay.
And by the way, a lot of that was grant money.
Can't they do that if they were able to do that? It sounds like if they did it, they were able to do it.
Because they're talking about, because they had to jump through a lot of hoops. And the only two people who were really involved with that project was Antioch.
Okay.
And
Antioch College.
And the co-op.
Okay.
I might have that one wrong. But there weren't a whole lot of people involved in that, and they had a lot of money available to do this. But no, they're saying that the being able to invest in solar should be just as easy as the people who invested it in the co-op. Hundreds of people are probably invested in that, if I understand correctly. Now, I might have that wrong.
Okay.
So that's the way it works, right? People pay into it and it...
Well, that's what a co-op is itself. I know there are people who invested in the co-op as
including
the
our
store.
City.
I mean, you could be
the city and the state.
You could be a co-op member, but I don't think that's what you're asking about.
No. I'm talking about people investing in
putting money into the building
being shareholders.
Okay. The creation of.
I'll look into that.
Co-op members are shareholders, so this is really confusing.
Shareholders in that they actually make money from the company. Of course, if it's a non-profit, I don't know how that works.
Okay.
Because they shouldn't be allowed to make money off their investment.
What's in the solar request video? I mean, maybe that explains it better because I'm not getting anything out of this.
Okay, this is the...
It sucks that it's the co-op and not a different business. So.
This is the actual letter that hasn't been written yet. They were supposed to have already written it for the city council. This is the city council last Thursday. During the PLD committee, they were supposed to have written this. This is another thing. Not only are they having to send all these things out, mail them all out, but they had to spend energy, city time, writing this thing up. So it's still not written, but this is what's supposed to be in
it. That's what group work does, man. You got to... I wouldn't sign off on just, oh, yeah, you write it, coworker. Well, like, no. We better have another meeting.
This is what's supposed to be...
Where you read out everything.
This is what's supposed to be in it.
Okay.
This request is to have the city endorse a letter stating we believe that state and federal regulations limiting local citizens from owning, profiting from, and controlling community-supported solar projects should be relaxed or removed. Currently, the regulations make it very difficult for anyone other than a public utility to create power grid improvements. The difference here is that solar power can fit and be built quickly and easily into many different areas, allowing private entrepreneurs to improve the power grid with less cost and green technology.
He means free money from the feds and the state.
When these regulations were written, solar power generation was not conceived of as yet. Also, currently the State House is working on legislation to allow this as well. The Planning Licenses and Development Committee unanimously recommends endorsing this letter.
Except there was one individual who wasn't at that meeting that voted on that. Homie, let me see if I can replay what he said.
State and federal regulations limiting local citizens from owning, profiting from, and controlling community-supported solar projects should be...
Owning, profiting from, and controlling. That's what they want to be able to do. And right now, state legislation is making that difficult to do.
And federal.
And federal, yes.
And federal as well.
And so this letter is going to be sent off to all the legislators in New Hampshire. Well, they didn't really specify. I'm assuming it's going to be all 400 legislators. And then, of course, Terry Clark jumped in there. Oh, and the governor and a bunch of the energy providers.
The executive council.
However many energy providers are in New Hampshire. But Terry Clark got in there and he's like, oh, it said federal. It said federal. So we need to also send these letters out to federal representatives. I don't know if that's just New Hampshire. I don't know. It's the whole damn country.
Well, copiers. But, I mean, I think even the big copiers I've seen can make up to 1,000 sheets of paper.
If we're just talking, yeah.
Before having to change.
And 49 cents. It's stamps are 49 cents right now, right?
They get a bulk rate for pre-sort.
And if they're not, sure. Yeah, and hopefully they're not certified, all these dumb letters. But, I mean, even just 49 cents, you know, we're talking about $200 just right there. We could have bought a damn solar panel and just had one on the side of his car. For $200. Or on the side of his building.
So you said this was unanimous? Everybody there voted in favor of this?
At the PLD meeting, there was one person who wasn't at the PLD meeting.
Who was that person not at the PLD?
Your favorite guy.
Uh-oh. Dvorak? John C. Dvorak?
I think it's known by now that I feel these letters that we write to Concord are political grandstanding or what have you. I'll be voting against this. I'll probably be standing alone again. But I do think that the intent is in the right place. I think, these are things that we as citizens should be writing to our legislators and asking them to vote in favor of these things. But I do think as a city body, I think it's out of place. Thank you.
I think that's a pretty...
He stole my line.
I think it's a pretty good point.
He stole my line.
This is just like the bag ban. This is just like the synthetic marijuana. This is like every stupid letter that the city council sends...
And they send it to their betters above them in Concord or in DC, God forbid. Okay. And what I want to know is, and I'm not asking you, I'm just saying, this is what I want to know. What is the state regulation that's limiting them? What is the art? I'm not asking you. Just let me finish.
I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Okay. So then they're making it up. Or,
I think it's real.
As an option, they're either making it up or they are the ones... I don't expect you to know the RSA that's limiting them, but they should know what the RSA is that is limiting them.
Okay, it wasn't brought up, and it's also not on their website.
Well, then they're lazy and they should do their job. They should do their homework, okay? So there has to be an RSA limiting them because there's a law somewhere that's limiting them. That's what they're complaining about. They are limited. They can't do the things they want to do, or the regulations are too high, which is ironic coming from Keene. That's the city of Keene complaining about too many regulations. Oh, I get it now. That's the joke. Okay, so there are, let's say it's, you know, RSA 405, okay? RSA 405 dot, you know,
just whatever.
Dot whatever is the one that is limiting them from doing this. And they would need to ask, you know, their representatives or whatever. And apparently if Keene is grandstanding all the time, it's going to be a form letter. Anybody in an office in Concord is going to see that letter from the city of Keene and be like, oh God, this goes in the trash right now because it's something that they want.
It's like all the political advertising
they want. I think
I could see that.
I think a better use of their of the intent behind what they're trying to do, of what they want, instead of mailing them out to Concord, mail all those letters to Keene informing us citizens who they supposedly represent, hey, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we want done. This is...
Please write your representative.
This is your representative here in Keene. This is, you know, I think Annie Custer or something. You know, write her, and this is... If you want, if you are on board with this as well, you know, this is what is going on. Or any of them, any of those city councilors who is really in favor of this could write a letter to the editor of the Sentinel.
Except, this, and this is where I'll...
And then that would be electioneering.
This is where I'll agree with these guys. Because it's home rule, there are 400 representatives throughout the state where any one of those guys could amend the current law to allow more than 25 accredited investors or remove accredited investors from the equation altogether. It doesn't just have to be someone from Keene. It could be
it could be
a representative anywhere in New Hampshire. So I agree that broaden your search and throw it out there, throw the net out there, and maybe you'll find a representative who really feels strongly about this somewhere else.
So then why don't they instead just mail it to the citizens of Keene saying, hey, you know, this is what we want, because that's going to be way more effective.
You can't get the citizens of Keene to come to a community election unless it's presidential.
Well, then I guess they know what's best for us and they should be left to do whatever
that's
they want.
That's why they run for office. Because
so
they,
then...
and they're writing letters with our money. The they're writing letters with city-funded paper and stamps.
Yep.
And city time, and they're doing just that because they know best, and because this group went and lobbied them.
Okay, like, hey, the group lobbied them. They're, you know, slaves to commercial pitches. Who isn't? But I'm just saying it sounds like you're trying to get upset about something that's pretty easily expected of them, and I'm trying to give an alternative.
You're the one get upset.
Well, because I'm trying to give an alternative of what they could do that would actually be, you know, I guess more in the spirit of being responsible and trying to get something done.
Get out of the energy, the renewable energy department.
That's
stop subsidizing,
not a possibility.
Stop subsidizing renewable energies that may or may not work. Let the free market do its thing.
The free market is not real. I'm sorry. There is no free market.
No, it's not. I want it to be free. But then how do you get rid of greenhouse gases, Shauna?
You put your faith in man, I guess. That's seemingly what you're doing.
Well, you stop fear-mongering everybody, and you stop scaring the bejesus out of everybody with the idea, the concept that unless it's fighting wars overseas for fossil fuels, you get this concept out of everyone's head that the fossil fuels are killing us all.
I guess it's a good idea that the city of Keene writes that letter then. I mean, I think it's grandstanding and it's pointless. I think it's grandstanding, like Sutherland said, and it's pointless because it's not going to be nearly as effective, I think, as getting letters from everyday citizens in Keene or, you know, encouraging them to do something. And that would be, you know, I mean, you show up to these city council meetings and they... Anytime anybody shows up to say, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, or, you know, please do this, it's always, well, you never show up to those meetings before. You know, why you know, you've never shown up to those meetings before, and it's, you know, like, it's not inviting.
You know, one of the reasons.
And that's why they don't get a lot of people to show up. That's why they get such low turnout, and nobody shows up at their meetings or anything. And this would be a way for the city instead to be inviting and reaching out to their constituents, to the citizens, to say, hey, you know, this is something. This is, you know, something that's limiting the city of Keene's ability to, you know, create solar panels, which is the direction that we want to go. And these are, you know, here's some representatives to talk to about this.
20 minutes of this 51-minute meeting.
Okay.
Was just that, grandstanding. They were giving out awards, and they were patting people who were retiring on the back, and they were proclaiming how well the voter turnout was, and all of the participants mm-hmm. at the polling places. At least 20 minutes of this meeting was just that. So they've got to do everything in their power to make themselves feel good about their positions. And, you know.
Well, when there's nobody there, it kind of is just.
It's just them. They're patting each other on the back, and they're they happen to be in a circle.
They are sitting facing each other, but
I was, that was going somewhere that I shouldn't have gone.
I mean, if nobody's showing up, I mean, I've gone to meetings and, you know, been there early in the first 5 minutes when nobody else is there and it's just me and somebody, you know, the atmosphere is a lot more casual. It's a lot more private. I mean, you know, we're coworkers at work, so we're just talking. But, you know, you make the jokes that you don't make when, you know, 10 more people come in that you don't know as well as the coworker you were just speaking with. So, you know, it is understandable, and I think it's inevitable that would happen. So, I don't know. I think if I got a letter like that from the city, I'd be like, I don't even know what they're talking about either. And it would be an example of them electioneering, but somehow them writing as the city industry to Concord representatives in Concord, somehow that would not be electioneering. So
That's a good point, because...
Well, that's the point I was guarding my argument against in case you thought of it, which you didn't. So.
Here we've been talking about electioneering the whole evening, and that is, I would say that this is the smallest example of electioneering, but it is. It's...
Well, if they wrote a letter to, and I got it in the mail from city council saying, hey, here's what we want to do, here's who you got to contact, that is exactly what it would be.
Now, if it was...
How much would it cost for them to, how much electioneering would it be if them, in their private capacity, wrote a letter to the editor about how this regulation, if they found out the regulation that's limiting them, the state regulation.
I'm so glad you caught that, because here is the timeline. Here's how it happened. So you have this department...
Planning licenses.
Monadnock Sustainability Network, who got together with the city's Climate Protection Committee, because we just don't have enough committees, and they wrote this letter that is not a letter, it's just an idea of a letter, and they lobby city, PLD, Planning License and Development, to get an endorsement. They just wanted to get an endorsement from the city, and Planning License Demo says, all right, we'll give you this endorsement, have the letter written, and they handed it over to city planning, get the city council to get full vote. The letter mm-hmm. is still not written yet.
Yeah.
It's whoever, I don't know who's going to be writing it, to get an endorsement from the city council and to be mailed out and this delivered from the city. So yeah, this is a prime example of electioneering for something that everyone might not agree with. This is broken window fallacy. This is throwing money into something that is inconclusive. It's mm-hmm. not final on people's fears that might not be based in reality. It might be based on infactual science. It's money being spent that I have not given the okay on. My money, your money,
mm-hmm.
being spent on something we may not agree with. It's electioneering. It's in order to influence legislators throughout New Hampshire to vote or to create legislation based on this letter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Electioneering.
I mean, even if they didn't, if they sent a letter instead to us dumb slaves, then I think that'd be a pretty obvious electioneering. But it absolutely is if they're sending it to why else would they write anything to the representatives in Concord? I mean, I was messaging, you know, a representative in Concord who's on his way out soon, and he, you know, in a Facebook chat a week ago, and first thing he said to me was, do you need something?
Yes,
and it was totally, you know, I didn't need anything. He didn't, you know, it wasn't anything bad or, you know, nefarious or anything, but that's, you know, and I didn't think anything nefarious of him in asking me that, you know.
That's the mindset he's probably gotten in, because
well, I don't think that of him specifically, but, you know, I think that's why else would somebody talk to somebody about being a state representative? Mm-hmm. So
I'm assuming 9 out of every 1 people who come up to him as state rep actually have something on their mind. Hey, what can you do about this bill?
Well, why else would they?
They might want to just...
He's not that handsome.
They might actually want to talk to him.
Nah.
I don't know. I'm glad you caught that. That just totally slipped by.
No, I was waiting the whole time for you to, you know...
You thought I was doing like a thing? Because I kind of do tie
No,
together.
I was waiting for you to stop talking so I could get my spiel in. I mean, the entire thing just on
Stop yelling at me!
Just on the surface... sounds, this is a scene that I'm, that's, you know, formed in my head from just hearing your explanation and their, just the fact that it's a city, just the impression, the whole, you know, perception is reality to a point. It sounds like this group, the Monadnock Climate Change Prevention Group, that's totally going to prevent climate change or something, that group and
because,
a city committee.
That movie.
Well, whatever. I mean, my point that I'm trying to make is what it sounds like is these little groups that are connected to the city and they're connected to big business, as big as it'll get in Keene, want to take advantage of grants, bond easements or something, or some financial benefits connected to investing their money into solar.
By the way,
tax write-offs,
tax credits,
tax write-offs, redlining of their loans or whatever it is.
And
they can't get it because of regulations that to me sound like you have to have a certain amount. You have to have a certain amount of money to be an investor.
Of money.
Exactly.
They can get them, but they don't want to spend the money. That's what I'm saying. By the way,
that's exactly, yes, you are absolutely right. Everything you said is true.
The examples.
I have nothing to add to this conversation.
The examples this guy brought up, they were all the nonprofits in Keene. He was like, the co-op, yeah. But what about 100 Nights? What about the community kitchen? What about all these other...
Is he saying that they want to invest in the solar?
No. He wants to invest in their solar. He wants to put it on nonprofits. And if that's the case, then now we're talking block grants. Because the nonprofits are the ones that get the block grants. When I stole your thunder, that's what this is all boils down to. They don't have the money. They want the free money.
Yeah.
For these projects. Because they believe that it's the future.
Well,
we are the future.
Well, they're bastards. I don't know what you want me to say about it.
I wanted you to agree with me, and you did, and then yelled at me, and I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go make dinner now.
I'm sorry. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to the extended...
this show is done.
To the extended version, the after show, the Citizen Kane after show. I need to do a drop for that. Citizen Kane after show.
After the show. Do you want to clean one of that?
No, I'll work on something. I already have two of me just talking. I want to do something that's a little unique. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week. That's a Sunday, 7 o'clock, not 8, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, good night. Goodbye.